Hi, I'm Kim Cotola. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. There are many more podcasts available online at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins.
Now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to Cradle My Heart Radio. It's just a joy that you could join us and help us to fulfill our mission of preventing abortion and helping those that it hurts. One of the things that has been, as you know, if you're a regular listener of this program, it's been so eye-opening to me to get this case for life where from a scientific and philosophical point of view, we can demonstrate that the unborn are fully human and have full value from conception going forward. And that's going to be the cornerstone of what we're going to discuss tonight. So you're going to be the smarter for listening. and we'll try to also talk about some of the issues that come into play that really bolster this case. Our guest tonight is the pro-life doc, Dr. William Lyle, and he's board certified in both obstetrics and gynecology, former OBGYN department chair at Sacred Heart Hospital, licensed to practice both in Florida and Alabama, and he served as an instructor with University of Florida, Florida State Medical School, OBGYN residency programs. And Dr. Lyle, it's just a pleasure to welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Well, I greatly appreciate the invitation. I'm looking forward to having a great discussion today.
You know, there's something else in your background that I want to give you a chance to discuss because in 1999, you took over a practice that was also providing abortion services. In fact, I think one of the leading providers in Pensacola at the time. Tell me about that. What happened and what did you do?
Well, it was 4 years of undergraduate and 4 years of medical school and 4 years of residency. And to quote my wife, it was time to get a job. So we looked at different practices, and one of the practices that could have been available was a practice in Pensacola, which at the time was the largest provider of abortion services in our tri-county area. So we worked out a agreement with the physician where we took over the practice, we purchased the practice, and we also had what's called a restrictive covenant where he could not practice any medicine whatsoever in the tri-county area for the next 24 months, which essentially put him into retirement and he moved back to Sweden. Well, we, of course, stopped all abortions on day one, stopped all referrals, but it was actually after church on a Sunday, and I went up to the upstairs area where the procedures had been done, and I just couldn't help but think of how many thousands of moms had gone up one set of stairs, had had a procedure done upstairs, and then went down the other set of stairs without that baby. And I saw the abortion machine and all the abortion equipment all laid out, and I just felt that it was absolutely a message from God that I was supposed to use some of the knowledge and skills that I had to show what the life is within the womb. So we started doing presentations and started the prolifedoc.org ministry. And I travel around the country now and do lectures for groups like National Right to Life and Students for Life. I was up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi and Palm Coast, Florida, working with their Pregnancy Resource Center annual banquets. And my goal is to not only show the truth of what abortion really is as far as taking that human life, but to also show that life and personhood and how we treat the patients as, you know, patients on the inside of the womb. But even more importantly to me is to let everybody know that, number one, is abortion a sin? Yes, but it is forgivable through the blood of Jesus Christ, and also enable pastors to have that skill and that knowledge to discuss abortion from the pulpit and say, look, you don't have to stand up today and say, my name is Betty Sue and I had an abortion. But you need to realize that it is a sin, it is forgivable, and until you ask for that forgiveness from Christ, that's when the real healing is going to begin. And a lot of pastors just don't feel that they're educated and they're enabled. And so they don't discuss the subject from the pulpit. And if we're not going to hear the truth from the pulpit, then where are we going to hear the truth? So it's an important mission for me to let the pastors know, you know, to make them aware of the facts, let them know what's actually going on, because nobody likes to discuss a subject that they don't have a great grasp on. So that's part of my goal, is to educate, but also to share the gospel and let people know about that forgiveness. And God doesn't expect perfection out of our lives, but he does expect a new direction out of our lives. And so you make that change in direction, you ask for that forgiveness, and then you move on, and that's when the healing begins.
Well, and I can tell you that that's exactly how it happened in my heart and in my spirit, my life. And so anyone listening who needs to receive that message, I can affirm that everything that Dr. Bill Lyle has just said is absolutely true. And there is freedom in Christ. There, one day you will be able to stand up without shame and to talk about the glory of what God has done for you in bringing you back from that abortion mindset that led to making that choice, or even from the damage of being coerced into it. You know, Dr. Lyle, as you were talking, one of the things that so struck me is you said something that should be very obvious, very common sense, very intuitive, that babies in the womb are viewed as patients.
It's
now,
amazing
we know
how
this,
much we do. Yep.
Right? We know this when it's a wanted pregnancy, but somehow there's another set of values that gets applied when someone is seeking an abortion. Talk about that just a little bit, because, I mean, you're saying this from a medical point of view. Babies in the womb are patients.
They absolutely are. I mean, from the moment that the egg and the sperm get together, that is a cell that is genetically different from mom and genetically different from dad and genetically different from the other 6 billion people on the earth. You know, some people watch NCIS, and, you know, they can find one cell, and they can check the genetics of that DNA of that one cell, and they can identify who that one cell came from of all the billions of people on Earth. And that one cell, when that egg and that sperm get together, is completely unique. In fact, we have blood tests now that we can do on the mom, and we can actually isolate out the DNA of the baby, about 1% to 3% of the free little fragments of DNA in a mom's bloodstream, actually belong to the baby, and we can actually identify them as being different from those of the moms, and we can actually do tests on that DNA, and we can start doing that test 7 weeks after conception. And what's really amazing is 2 hours after mom either delivers the baby or has an abortion, that marker and that identifier of the baby is no longer detectable in the mother's bloodstream. It's like, as long as the baby is there in the mother's body, then we know that that baby, that second genetic person, is there on the inside. And we treat the babies, even at our hospital, you know, we will do procedures to babies routinely while they're still in the womb. We can do a procedure called a PUBS, and that's a blood transfusion to the baby on the inside. We do blood work on the first visit on a mom, and we can see if there are antibodies which will attack the baby. And these antibodies are in the mom's bloodstream, but because baby's genetics are different from the mom will see the baby as being foreign. And the mom's immune system will actually attack the baby, because the antibodies go across to the placenta, to the baby, and start to attack the baby's blood. If we don't intervene, then the baby would become so anemic and the blood count would drop so low the baby would die of heart failure on the inside. So it used to be that we would have to do an amniocentesis, putting that long needle inside to test the baby's fluid to see if there was evidence of the baby having a low blood count. Now we can actually use an ultrasound. We can look in the brain. We can look at a little artery called the middle cerebral artery, and we can measure the speed of the individual blood cells going through that artery and see if the baby is anemic. And if we determine that the baby is, as early as 18 weeks gestation, we can take a tiny little needle, guide it with ultrasound through the uterus into the amniotic sac, into the vein in the baby's umbilical cord, and actually test the blood immediately, and then give the baby a blood transfusion that some adult gave at a blood center down the street. We might have to give the baby a blood transfusion every 3 or 4 weeks, and this is way before the baby could even survive on the outside. And that's just one of the procedures and surgeries that we do on the babies. But we not only can do testing on the baby just like it was a patient on the outside, but then we can also do interventions, blood transfusions, small surgeries where we're treating the baby as a patient on the inside. And it gets recognized as a surgery. It gets reimbursed by Medicaid and all the insurance. And when we get a consent, the consent is applied to the baby on the inside. So we're discussing risks, benefits, indications, and alternatives, not just for the mom, but for the baby that she's carrying, so she understands that there are risks to the baby, but we're going to treat the baby as a patient, just as if the baby was in the neonatal intensive care unit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Incredible. Our guest today is Dr. Bill Lyle, who is the pro-life doc at prolifedoc.org, and he has a mission to share the truth, an obstetrician sharing the truth about life before birth and about the reality of how abortion destroys life before birth. And one of the ways that you're doing this, you mentioned, Dr. Lyle, that you took the instruments of abortion and turned them into teaching tools to raise awareness, to help people understand what abortion actually is, what it actually does. And I'm so appreciative of one of the things that you've done I want to ask you about, but overall, the fact that you're speaking out and trying to bring light to this abstraction. You know, I remember talking with a young woman who somehow ended up on a NARAL mailing list, and they sent her a petition to sign about women's reproductive freedom. And they mentioned the word abortion, and it was so glowingly written that she brought it to me, and she said, you know, I'm pro-life. I don't know why, but I do have a problem with this, but I don't understand why I have a problem with it. And I said, well, you know, do you know what happens during an abortion? And she had no idea. And she was educated and had a good heart for the life issue, but she had no idea what abortion does. You put together a YouTube video that's had 250,000 views about a demonstration, a bloodless demonstration of what a partial birth abortion looks like. And I think, Dr. Lyle, as people would access this, and we'll have a link to it at cradlemyheart.org, I think that, you know, the fact that you used a doll the size of a baby is going to be probably a problem for some people. Just like when they inserted footage in the Planned Parenthood undercover videos of what, you know, a 19-week gestated fetus looks like, people said, well, that's not an abortion, as if that mattered in what was being discussed in the video. But so I just want to talk about that first of all. You know, your decision to use this doll, how realistic is that? What does a partial birth abortion do? And help us understand what you were, you know, hoping to accomplish with this video.
Well, what I found out is that my job is to educate. I mean, as a physician, that is our primary role, is to educate and teach. And there are a lot of different training videos and educational videos out there which show an abortion. And to be honest, the brutality, the blood, and the baby parts are to a lot of people so offensive that they close their eyes and they cover their ears. And you can't educate somebody if they have their eyes closed and they have their ears covered. So what I found was I used a technique where I will show ultrasound images of my daughter inside the womb jumping and sliding. You know, when she's only 12 weeks along, I'll show how we do surgeries on babies. I'll show how we do spina bifida surgery, like on that famous picture of Samuel Armas when his hand thrust out from the womb when they were getting ready to do surgery on his spine. And I let people actually see these babies on the inside and how we can actually see the heart beating 28 days after conception. And then once we've shown them that life that is within the womb, then we're just going to go through the mechanics of how an abortion is performed in the first, second, and third trimester using the actual instruments that were used to perform these abortions. And we start off with the first trimester, and that would be an example of my daughter when she was only 12 weeks along inside my wife's womb, and how the, you know, cervix is opened up and how the suction instrument to the abortion machine are placed into the womb and the baby is removed. Well, you just saw how a baby was moving around, and you just saw it sucked out with a machine that has the same motor in it that would go into a garbage disposal underneath of a kitchen sink. So you know what's going on. Then we go through the steps of a second trimester abortion after, you know, 13 weeks gestation, how the baby literally has an arm, a leg, you know, taken apart and is brought out in pieces. But then the partial birth abortion, we see legislation saying that, well, we want to legislate against this procedure, you know, unless there is evidence that the mother's health is in jeopardy. Well, for most people, we think of health, and we think, well, if we don't do this, the mother will die. Well, there was a U.S. Supreme Court decision called Doe versus Bolton, which was released the same day as Roe versus Wade, which defined health as physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and age, really meaning there are no restrictions on the abortion when it, that deals with the mother's health. But with a partial birth abortion, the baby is still alive on the inside. And, you know, I use the doll to just demonstrate the mechanics, not only for people to see for themselves, but our real goal is to multiply the message by giving people simple tools where when they're in conversation with somebody else, they can say, you know what, I've seen how these are done, and this is how it goes. And they can remember it, and they can discuss it, because I'm just not here to talk to the pro-life community. I'm here to educate the pro-life community, but also to speak to the pro-abortion community and let them know what's really going on. But we need to educate the pro-life community so they can describe what's going on. And even when it comes to legislation, a lot of the legislation when it came to partial birth abortion dealt with this issue, and we thought we had covered all the bases. The truth is, we shouldn't be looking at making different procedures illegal. What we need to do is making sure that it's the taking of the life of the baby that is illegal. My college is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. That is our governing body. And when it comes to partial birth abortion, their statement officially in ACOG Practice Bulletin number 135 is that these procedures are banned unless fetal demise occurs before the surgery is done. Well, that would make us think that the baby's already passed away, and so this is a way to remove a passed-away baby from the inside. However, ACOG, in the next page of this same technical bulletin, and I'll quote them, they say, techniques used to cause fetal demise include division of the umbilical cord, injection of digoxin into the baby, or injection of potassium chloride into the baby. So what ACOG, our governing body, says, yeah, you got to watch out for these rules and these laws which say you can't perform a partial birth abortion unless fetal demise has occurred already. And these are the three ways that we suggest you invoke fetal demise by, number one, cutting the umbilical cord, number two, injecting the baby with a heart toxin called digoxin, or injecting the baby with potassium chloride, which would stop the baby's heart. That's where the laws need to be focusing, where it's not the individual procedures and how we do things, but that the baby is important, the baby is a person, the baby has value in personhood, and we need to protect the baby on the inside.
We're speaking with Dr. Bill Lyle, the pro-life doc, and again, he has made a YouTube video demonstrating what actually happens in a partial birth abortion. And I think it's important that you help us understand that fetal demise is another way of saying to bring about the death of the baby before it's born.
Correct.
And people will get very upset about, you know, well, a fetus is not the same thing as a baby, when actually a fetus just means little one.
Right.
You know, the fact that a baby is located inside its mother's womb or born doesn't medically change what it is. Can you talk to that point? Because
sure.
I mean, even scrolling through the comments, scrolling through the comments on your YouTube channel, you know, this is a big point of contention. Fetus, not baby. A whole argument now is debunked and dismissed.
Well, fetus is just Latin. It just means little one. And so, you know, whether you're using the term fetus or whether you're using the word baby, you know, it's still talking about a little person. Let me give you a great example. An example that I'd like people to be able to take home and use, it's what's called a delayed interval delivery. And with a delayed interval delivery, a typical example, and this happens even at our hospital about once every year or two, typical example is a mom who is pregnant with twins. They could be identical twins, which were one egg, one sperm, fertilized, and before the pregnancy was 13 days along, that egg divided. Now you're going to have either identical twin boys or you're going to have identical twin girls. But typically a mom will show up at our hospital at, say, 25, 26 weeks gestation, and she's in preterm labor. And we admit her to labor and delivery, but before we can do things to stop her, she delivers the first baby, baby A. And that baby immediately goes to our neonatal intensive care unit, is put on the ventilator, given the IV fluids, all the technology that we can have at our hospital to try to save the baby's life. Meanwhile, if the identical twin, twin B, if that bag of water is still intact, we can often stop the mom's labor. And we'll counsel mom and say, we have two intensive care nurseries here at Sacred Heart Hospital. We have the one where your first baby is in, down the hall with all the doctors and nurses and technology. The second intensive care nursery is your womb, the one designed by God, which frankly does a better job of supporting the needs of a baby than the one with all the technology down the hall. Right now, your second baby.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Right now, your second baby is doing very well inside and your bag of water is intact. And we'll give her the risks and the options. And we'll say, we'd like to keep the second baby in your womb for as long as we can because it's doing a better job. We don't just get hours. We don't just get days. We can get weeks. We can actually have one identical twin born in June and have its other identical twin born in August with a delayed interval delivery. Well, here's the real key of this. You have identical twins. The only thing is that they have a different geographic location. One is down in the NICU. One is still in the mother's womb. The one in the NICU, now that it's been delivered and it's on the outside, has all the rights and protections that you or I would have if we were in a cardiac care unit, where you cannot just opt to take the life of that baby. You cannot just say, well, we don't really give this baby any value. We're going to protect this baby. Meanwhile, in 8 states plus Washington, D.C., if the mother were to choose and felt her health was in jeopardy, she could choose to electively terminate and abort that baby that is still inside of her womb. How does our geographic location either give us rights or take away our rights? You have two identical twins. One's in the womb, has no rights, and its identical twin is over in the NICU, yet it has all these rights. The only thing that's different is that they're in a different geographic location, and that does not give us or take away our rights. And that's called delayed interval delivery.
Delayed interval delivery,
yep.
And it, more common than we think. And Dr. Bill Lyle, as you're talking about this, I want you to also follow up now. We've got about 5 minutes remaining.
Sure.
But I appreciate how you bring clarity to these complex issues. Dr. Bill Lyle is an obstetrician gynecologist who educates on what abortion actually is and advocates for the personhood of the unborn. The big sticking point that I get as I engage with people who believe that abortion ought to be legal is now they're saying, because of course DNA technology and ultrasound technology, okay, that's fine, it's a human being, but it doesn't have rights because of the rights of the mother to her bodily autonomy. But you're using this argument about bodily autonomy to defend the rights of the preborn. Tell me how you've arrived at that position.
Well, there really isn't much difference between the baby on the inside and the baby on the outside. You know, and the baby on the outside has rights, the baby on the inside should have rights as well. And the unique thing is that, you know, there's a guy who's a bioethicist out of Princeton University who agrees that there's no difference between the value and the personhood of babies on the inside or on the outside. His name is Peter Singer, and he is a doctorate bioethicist who's supposed to review the ethics of the medicine and what we're supposed to be doing and what's considered right. And I'll quote him. He says, just being human does not give you a right to life. Where we would look at it and say, well, you know, if the baby on the outside has rights, then shouldn't the baby a week before it's supposed to be due have rights? And he says, well, you know what, I agree that, you know, they are the same, but he will flip the argument completely around. He'll say, well, you know what, if we can take the life of the baby on the inside, well, then parents should also have the same decision process where they should have 30 days, maybe 60 days after the baby is born, so that if they find out the baby does have something like Down syndrome or has some sort of a birth defect, his feeling is that, you know what, mom should not be burdened with the fact that they are going to be raising this baby on the outside. There's another obstetrician named David Grimes, and brilliant guy. I mean, he has been, you know, trained, Ivy League trained, and he's over at Chapel Hill, and he does not see a difference between a partial birth abortion and a mastectomy. He says both procedures are just eliminating a problem. I do not look at a baby as a problem and equate a baby to a cancer growing on the inside. Sometimes moms will show up and they'll say, you know what, I'm just not ready to be a mom. Being a mom has already happened. Once reproduction happens, you are a mom. Throughout history, if you want to take advantage of any group of people, it doesn't matter if it was women not being allowed to vote or if it was the Jews, throughout history, we've denied them personhood. The German Supreme Court said, you know, the Reichsgericht said that, you know what, the Jews are not persons in the legal sense. Virginia State Supreme Court said that, you know what, blacks are not persons within the legal sense. Even in Dred Scott in 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court said that African Americans were not of the same value. Women were denied the right to vote. American Indians were said they were not persons. So if you want to kill 6 million Jews or you want to kill 54 million babies, you just say they're not persons. Well, was the Supreme Court wrong in 73 and when they said the babies were not persons? Yes. Were they wrong in 1857 when they said African Americans weren't persons? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did we correct 1857? Yes. Should we correct 1973? Yes.
Well, as I said, you will feel smarter having listened to Dr. Bill Lyle, and we so appreciate your time today, particularly to bring forth the truth that preborn children are persons and they are patients and they deserve a right to life. You can access all of his information as well as links to his training videos at prolifedoc.org, and never you worry, we've got that linked at cradlemyheart.org. Dr. Bill Lyle, thank you so much for educating us and for all that you do for the cause of life. Thanks for being with us at Cradle My Heart Radio.
It has been an honor to be with you, and I appreciate all of your attention and time.
Stay with us now. Coming up here on Faith Radio, we'll talk about some of the top news stories this week on the Cause for Life and your phone calls as well. Phones are open, 1-800-811-3003. And it's a toll-free call, so please jot it down and give us a call. 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
We are here, and we are ready for your calls, so please do join us if you would like to make a comment about our recent conversation there with the pro-life doc, Dr. Bill Lyle. What an amazing story. He buys an obstetrics practice, which is actually an abortion business, closes it down, and uses those implements to teach people the personhood of preborn children. Beautiful. I loved his story. And I love his heart for being an educator as well as caring for both patients in every pregnancy. In a wanted pregnancy, isn't that stunning? That, to me, was one of the most stunning revelations here from Dr. Bill Lyle. In a wanted pregnancy, the obstetrician is obliged to treat two patients, mother and child. 1-800-811-3003. I'm Kim Cotola, and if you are listening to Faith Radio Mornings, you know that I come on and give a little preview of some of the news stories that are in the news on the issue and cause of life. And we discussed some of these with Dick Whitworth this last Thursday morning. And I have to say that, you know, usually I was doing those segments with Austin Hill. And as I expressed at the conversation with Dick Whitworth, I'm so grieved and saddened at his passing. He was a friend, a colleague, really unlike anybody that I've known in over 30 years in radio, and perhaps more than just a handful of other people I've known anywhere. He understood the importance of loving the Lord with all your mind. He would often call to talk about the challenges of doing a daily radio broadcast, as he was doing, of course, and his humility just left me feeling so humbled that he would be seeking out my thoughts, because, of course, he'd had such a great national profile and continued to do so on Faith Radio. He wasn't satisfied with the status quo, and he cared and invested himself completely in shaping the thinking of those around him, not only his listeners, but readers and friends. He did that with heart, with humor and humility, and I will truly miss him. That is the news story this past week is the passing of Austin Hill, the untimely death. And you can go to myfaithradio.com to learn more about what apparently was a cardiac condition. But some of the stories that are in the news and that we've got referenced and linked for you at cradlemyheart.org that we talked with Dick Whitworth about include this story from Ohio's Otterbein University, where Created Equal is on campus using their displays of fetal development as well as images of abortion victims. And there are some students who are so unhappy, that's the objection that they've made, that the images make them unhappy, that they're standing with bed sheets in front of the images. Others are, trying to, in various ways, shut down the free speech of the group Created Equal. And it's even gone so far as to a student group putting together a scheme to buy the public sidewalk in order to censor the pro-life message. At a university, which, if any place in America should be free for people to think and object and think freely and to entertain ideas that make us unhappy, it ought to be a university campus. But things are not going that way these days on campuses, are they? So we could talk about that at 800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. My mentor in my studies for a certificate in applied bioethics, Scott Klusendorf, had his eyes opened when he was an associate pastor dealing with youth. And the first time he saw images of abortion victims, it completely changed the course of his life and his ministry. And he's now training others like me to do pro-life apologetics. And he absolutely insists upon the necessity of opening the coffin on abortion. And I agree with him. And there are others who feel, or there are some who agree and yet would feel that, you know, there needs to be an appropriate use of images. Of course, Scott would say that too. But what do you think? 800-811-3003. That's one of the things that we could talk about. The other sharp contrast is this couple, Kevin and Joanne Cook, who stood outside an abortion facility, motivated by watching the Planned Parenthood videos that showed, again, abortion victims and what their little bodies look like once those procedures are completed. Kevin Cook is a seminary student, and he was so stricken by those images, particularly because he and his wife had suffered a miscarriage and were also experiencing fertility challenges, that he and Joanne made signs and went and stood on the sidewalk outside an abortion facility in Kentucky where they live. Joanne's sign read, "God loves you and your baby." And his sign said, "Please don't abort. We will adopt your baby." And we're going to have the Cooks come and join us to talk about the fact that this went viral and how things are going on their fundraising. But talk about redeeming the public space. They've said they've heard from several young women who are pregnant and said that, yes, I do want to do the right thing for my baby and me, but I didn't know how to go about adoption. Please help me. They've now said that they're willing to take two children, if that's what God will provide, but they, again, are trying to raise funds for that, as well as trying to, I think they've said, you know, swamp every adoption agency that they can find with people who are willing to release children for adoption, especially those children who would have been very vulnerable to abortion otherwise. It's a beautiful story, and I'm really, really pleased to be able to bring that to you, too. We've got the links at cradlemyheart.org if you want to learn more about the Cooks or see how you can donate to their fundraising effort, because, you know, I went ahead and did that. They had over 10,000 shares and likes and views on his Facebook page. But the fundraising didn't really reflect that that many people had seen it and that many people were as supportive of it. And, you know, when we see something that inspires us and lifts us higher, we've got to do something to help those people who are putting everything on the line. I promised you also tonight that we would talk about Let Love Love You, a CD that I worked with last year and that we released right at the end of the year, just about a year ago now, with Rick Barron, my producer and co-writer of the songs. And we've never really dealt with it on this program. And I just thought, well, it's time to do that. I wanted to share with you three of the songs that relate directly to the post-abortion healing journey. And if you have read my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, you know that one of the things that I did in this book is to take a look at our family album, the Bible. And, you know, as we look at what Jesus did when he encountered people or when people encountered him, we can take those ministry dynamics and appropriate them for the problem of abortion. We're not told that anybody he met with in the Gospels had actually participated in abortion or infanticide, which was the first century version of evading parenthood responsibilities or sacrificing children to a false god. But we know that he encountered broken people, and we know that he encountered people in need of healing. And this song was inspired by the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. And the scriptures tell us that she had spent all of her money and all of her time looking for a cure, and yet nothing had helped her. She wasn't supposed to be in the crowd when Jesus arrived that day. She was supposed to be isolated because of her medical issues. But she took a chance. She risked it, reaching for her miracle. Let's listen to this first song from Let Love Love You.
Tell me not to go. Some say to stay away. I never thought I'd have to learn to crawl. Some say that I should quit. I should get over it. Find a new miracle.
the title of the CD, and that song is entitled Miracle, co-written with our producer, Rick Barron. We've got information about Let Love Love You at cradlemyheart.org, and I hope you'll visit to find out more about the project. And we'll have a couple of other songs coming up dedicated to the children lost to abortion. So stay with us tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Phones are open tonight and would love to hear from you as we're playing back songs from our CD, Let Love Love You. This next one, I feel I need to set the stage for it because it's got a unique perspective. And it's written from the point of view of the child whose life has been taken because of abortion, but who has only known the Father's love in heaven. This song is completely the work in terms of the songwriting and the melody, the lyric, everything about it is written by our producer, Rick Barron. This is The Chance.
Bye.
Wish I'd had the chance to say goodbye.
A powerful song with the perspective that is of the child in heaven. And to think that they would be praying for us was one of the most healing things that was ever spoken to me by Counselor Terry Reiser. She said, of course they forgive us because all they have ever known is God's love in heaven. And to think of our children ministering to us from heaven through Christ's love is such a beautiful, beautiful image. I want to close the program tonight with this song, also from our five-song EP, Let Love Love You, which is a production of Cradle My Heart Ministries. And it's available on iTunes and Amazon, and we've got it linked at cradlemyheart.org, too. This song is a song that I wrote as part of a memorial service to my child in heaven, Emmanuel. And it's called simply Our Song Lives On.
As the heavens above the earth, ocean wide, deep, dark, and blue, up to the moon and the stars and the sun and back again. So great is my love for you. Him laughing, and you were the gift for me to receive.
So there are some songs for healing, and I do pray that they have blessed you and ministered to you as we share them tonight, because it is possible for you to live a new life, an entirely free life, even after abortion. So many of us, as mothers and fathers of children who have been lost, get our emotional wires crossed between guilt and grief, and all of it is something that we can live free of. I hope that you received that message from Dr. Bill Lyle. If you missed that, please go to cradlemyheart.org and access the podcast when we have that posted, because it will bless you. And know that despite what you feel, the reality is that God has already forgiven you. And you no longer need to live in shame and guilt and separated from the child whom you've lost. Please continue listening. Go to cradlemyheart.org for our resources. And we'll see you back here again next week. I'm Kim Catola. Thank you for listening. Please remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support, and so we appreciate that as well. You can learn more information at myfaithradio.com.